You're listening to my daddy's show.
Welcome, Cardinals fans, to Conversations with C70. Please welcome your host, Daniel Shoptaw. Click and play, familiar tone. Shoptaw speaks here on my headphones. Yeah, he plays it calm, but that man is funky. Yeah, but what can I say? I'm a C70 junkie. Yeah, he'll take you on the team with the blogging scene. Talk the moves of the Cardinals and what they mean. He always has a real cool guest. He'll talk the Redbirds for all the rest. He's got his awesome kids to lead it off. And now he's got this sweet theme song. A blogging, tweeting baseball man. Sit back and listen, you'll become a fan. I'm a C70 junkie, a C70. I'm a C70 junkie, a C70. I'm a C70 junkie, a C70. Now your host, Daniel Shoptaw.
You are listening to my daddy's show. Go Cardinals!
Hello, and welcome into episode 51 of Conversations with C70. We shall watch your career with great interest. We've had a lot of great guests over the last 50 shows. A lot of fun conversations. Lots of great things, but it's probably peaking tonight with this episode. Episode 51 should have been episode 70, because we get a chance to talk to Tyler Lyons, the patron pitcher of the blog, number 70 of the Cardinals. Got a chance to talk to Tyler, as y'all that listened to last week's episode, episode 50 with Jamie Pogue, you know that he was going to try to arrange a meeting, if you will, of between Tyler and myself. He was able to do that, and Tyler was gracious enough to spend a little bit of time talking to me earlier in the week. So I'm finally getting a chance to share that with you. It was a very, very fun conversation, and again, anytime you can bring two 70s together, well, you get 140, but other than that, you also get a good time. So stick with us.
Hey, this is Bill Ivey, and you can catch all your Cardinals and Royals coverage over at i70baseball.com. Right now, you're listening to Conversations with C70 and Daniel Shoptaw.
And we're here with number 70, Tyler Lyons. Tyler, thanks for joining me tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate you having me on.
Let's go back. Let's go back as far as we can, I guess. You were a two-sport star in high school. What made you choose baseball over football?
I think I just had a little bit better future in baseball. I think the opportunity was a little bit higher for me there, rather than in football. I mean, I really enjoy football, maybe as much, if not more than, baseball. But, I think at the end of the day, I just had a little more opportunity in baseball than I did in football.
Did the injury issue flare up? I mean, we talk a lot about that now, but, was that an issue for you making that decision?
No, not really. I mean, I never really had any problem too much in football or anything like that. I think just like I said, at the end of the day, I think when I was in high school, I was about a 6 foot, 175, 180-pound guy. Couldn't really throw a great tight spiral, but just just enjoyed doing it. So I think just at the end of the day, baseball had a little more opportunity.
Well, and you went on to Oklahoma State and had a pretty good career there as well. Got to play with Team USA. What was that experience like?
Oh, that was awesome. That was, that's something you never forget. You know, it kind of gotten the opportunity to do a lot of cool things, you know, but being able to kind of represent your country was, you know, something that I'll never forget. And it was cool getting to play with a lot of, you know, highly touted college players as well.
Was there anybody on that team that has made the majors as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think Steven Strasburg, Mike Miner, A.J. Griffin was on that team. Kyle Gibson was on that team. Andy Oliver. There's quite a few people that pitch in the big leagues now that were on that team.
And you had a real good run there. You didn't even give up anything in that whole tournament, did you?
No, it was a good summer for me. You know, I just kind of pitched a little bit out of the bullpen, did some short relief, long relief, little spot start here and there. And you know, but in the day, summer, it was a good one for me.
I'm sure you'd had scouts well before then following you probably all the way back into high school, but did that kind of thing, you know, did you start seeing more of them after that?
I think that really was kind of the first, like, you know, time that I thought, you know, or, you know, found myself being mentioned more, you know, having more scouts talking to me. I think that was kind of the first time that really, you know, kind of got aggressive, I think, a little bit.
What was that like? I mean, was it kind of a head-turning experience a little bit?
Yeah, I think so for sure. I mean, you know, it's something, you know, I remember at that time. I mean, you're really excited about that, obviously. I mean, I think that's, you know, one of the first steps to getting that opportunity to play in the big leagues is, you know, having people look at you as an amateur. And so, you know, for me, I thought it was awesome. I loved it. I enjoyed that, you know, that aspect of it. So it was a lot of fun, I thought.
You know, I was, you know, doing some digging just today because I wrote a post about you today at the blog. I didn't realize you had been drafted by the Yankees before the Cardinals. What was the deciding factor in turning them down?
So my junior year, so that would have been the summer. That would have been the summer after Team USA, the year after that summer with Team USA, and I kind of had some elbow issues late in the fall. Kind of got started late going into my junior year. I didn't really miss any starts or anything. I kind of picked up and got going a little too quickly. And so I kind of struggled a little bit early, and my arm was still kind of hurting and, you know, kind of just trying to pitch through it, but velocity wasn't there, stuff wasn't there. And it really didn't get there till about the last month of the year. And at that point, draft stock had obviously fallen from where, you know, I considered myself, you know, signing at. And so when that happened, you know, they ended up taking me in the 10th round. We never really got too far into the money thing. I said, you know, I wanted to pitch, I wanted to go pitch in the Cape because I wanted to try to, you know, increase my draft value. And I went up there and I had a sub two and maybe 40, 45 innings or some. So I thought, I mean, I pitched really well, but at the end of the day, we just never got anything worked out. You know, I had school to fall back onto. And at that time, I don't think I was too excited about it. But at the end of the day, I went back, graduated, got my degree. And I think that was one of the bigger blessings in disguise that I've ever had.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty interesting. I mean, two of the best organizations, at least in history, Yankees and the Cardinals, and you've been picked by both. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was. It was cool, you know, especially, you know, initially the first time, you know, like I said, being the Yankees, I mean, having so much tradition, and then, you know, obviously didn't work out, and then I get drafted a second time by a team that's, you know, right up there with them as far as tradition and history, and so it's pretty cool to be able to say you're drafted by both of them.
Yeah. And then, you know, you go into Palm Beach and you throw the first no-hitter that they've ever had. What was that? I mean, that last little bit, I'm sure you knew you had one going into that last inning.
Yeah, at that time you did. And it was, you know, it was kind of a blur. It happened real fast. I think one thing I really remember from it is, so with one out in the seventh inning, the guy that was batting kept fouling off pitches, worked at full count. It was taking forever, and it was kind of, okay, really, come on, let's go. You know, and so it was, you know, it was dragging on a little bit, and then eventually got him out. And then the last hitter, grounded out to short on the first pitch. So it just happened so quickly. I remember it just, you know, it was like something that was kind of dragging, and it was a grind right there at the end, and then all of a sudden it was just over, and it was, oh, wow, that just happened. And so, yeah, that was awesome. That was something, you know, it's fun to think back on every now and then.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be one of the highlights. You've moved fairly quickly up the organizational ladder. And then, you know, 2013, you get the call to the big leagues. How did you hear that you were going up?
So that was a little interesting because, you know, we'd had some injuries up there in the big leagues. So I kind of had this idea that something, you know, may or may not be happening. Like, you know, something was going on. And we were up in Tacoma, and we had just finished a game. And it was like a Saturday night, I think. And, you know, Pop Warner called me, and he's like, hey, come here real quick. And at that time, my stomach kind of sunk. I'm like, oh, no, you know, work this. Goes in there, and he's like, hey, you're going to be pitching on Wednesday or Saturday at this time, I think. And he's like, hey, but, you know, the thing is, you can't say anything. Like, I'm like, what do you mean? Like, you know, he's like, you can't say anything till after tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock or whatever time he said they were breaking the news. And I'm like, all right, so what am I supposed to say when I walk out of here? He's like, man, I don't know. You got to find, you know, you can't say anything. You got to make something up. And so I'm not even really sure at that time what I did say, but I had to walk out and I was like, hey, you want to, no, you know. And so that was kind of an interesting deal, but exciting nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of stuff you want to go out and tell just about everybody, to be able to have to hold that in. I think it'd been probably better if they just told you the next morning instead of waiting, making you wait.
Yeah, for sure. And probably would have helped me sleep a little better that night, though. But it really was. I mean, I was on the inside. I'm like bouncing off the walls and out. I'm like, no, nothing's happening. You know, luckily, you know, we were, like I said, we were in Tacoma, and it was already late over there. And so, you know, it wasn't too big a deal. I waited until the next morning to call back home and tell everyone because they had already been asleep anyways. I'm like, all right, I'll just wait, you know. So it was, it ended up working out.
So, yeah, you just go down the coast, you go to San Diego, and you make your first start. Like you were talking about the no-hitter being kind of a blur. Is that first start the same way, kind of, or do you remember more about it?
That's probably even more of a blur, I would say. I was telling someone about this not too long ago, but I remember it being about the longest 6 hours from when I got to the field to when the first pitch was. I got there probably like one, you know, first pitch of the second or whatever, and just being the longest 6 hours. And then after that first pitch, I pitched 7 innings, so it was probably about 2 hours or so. Maybe being the fastest 2 hours of my life. So that was kind of the same thing. It couldn't have gone any slower for the longest time, and then it was over in a snap of the finger.
Yeah, and in fact, if I remember right, you even got a chance to bat before you had a chance to pitch.
Yeah, and probably not many starting pitchers say that is how it worked out. But, you know, I thought that was something that actually probably made me a little more comfortable, or, you know, at least a little less nervous, because I'd already been out there on the field, you know, heard my name called, all that, you know, to go up to bat, yeah. You know, before I even went out there to throw my first pitch.
Which also meant that you had a good bit of run support to start with, so that helped a lot, too.
Yeah, that's always nice.
I don't think you'll argue too much with that. You've gone back and forth from Memphis the last couple of years. I know last year, and I don't want to dwell on it, but you had a rough outing against the Cubs. How good was it to come back, you know, a couple months later and have maybe one of your best outings, you know, striking out 8 and just over, just less than 5 innings against that same team that had teed off on you beforehand?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's kind of one of those things that just reminds you, you know, it's just baseball, you know, that's kind of how it works. You know, I believe it or not, I thought, you know, the night, you know, against the Cubs, I didn't think my stuff was too bad. And, you know, kind of looked at it a little bit after it. And it's like, you know, you make some mistakes here and there, but didn't you make some decent pitches or some good pitches even? And then it just get hit. And it's just one after the other. Oh, wow, that's just kind of how it goes. And, you know, but that's something, you know, like you said, to be able to bounce back and, you know, face that same team and have one of your better outings of the year. It kind of helps you keep it in perspective, and you got to remember it's baseball, and you know, use that for my own sake in the future. I mean, just about going out there and making pitches. It doesn't matter who's out there. I mean, just got to go out there and execute.
You've done the starting thing. You've done the relieving thing. I'm going to qualify this. I know you're going to do whatever the manager wants you to do and whatever it does to take to keep you in the big league. But if you if Mike comes up to you and says, hey, you get to pick, what would you rather do?
Whichever one gets me in the big league. I think, you know, I don't – I really do have a hard time saying that I prefer one over the other because I don't really – I think there are things that I – and mentality that I have as a reliever that I like to I want to try to carry over a little bit more as a starter. Just from my own perspective, I think as a reliever, you know, I'm a little more focused and committed to pitch by pitch because, you know, as a reliever, it's like, I might throw this pitch and I might be out of the game or, you know, whatever, you know. Whereas a starter, sometimes your mindset gets, you know, and this isn't good, but you're like, okay, I got to, you know, last the course of the game. And, you know, you look at it from that perspective where, you know, you still have to make one pitch at a time. And as simple as it sounds, you know, I think that's something that I do a little bit better as a reliever. And I think that I want to try to, you know, carry over if I'm starting.
You are in an organization that has maybe more pitching depth than anybody else in the major leagues. Is it a little tough to deal with that? Because I mean, you kind of look at it and say you could be in a lesser organization, but be in the, you know, in the starting rotation, be maybe a third or fourth starter easily. In this organization, you know, it's a struggle just to even stay in the bullpen.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, try not to dwell on that, obviously, you know, trying to do a lot of things, you know, being here and being on good teams. I've got to experience a lot of good things, you know, as far as, you know, 13 was in the World Series, and, you know, last year the Championship Series. But, yeah, I mean, it could be tough. So, I mean, you try not to dwell on it. And, I mean, at the end of the day, you still got to go out there and pitch. You know, you might, like you said, like, you know, in a lesser organization, but at the end of the day, if you don't go out there and pitch well, you're not going to be in the big leagues there either. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things out of control a little bit. If you don't really try to dwell on it or worry about it, and you just go out there and try to make pitches and get people out.
And, you know, a lesser organization probably gives you a lesser chance of a nice World Series ring, which I'm sure that you're aiming for this year as well. How's the off season been? Have you been working on anything different, getting ready for spring training?
I wouldn't say different. I think, you know, year by year, you kind of figure out more and more about your body or what you feel like you need to do to be ready for that long of a season and whatnot. And so, you know, I don't think I've really changed too much, this off season. I think, you know, I've kind of focused a little bit more on some of the smaller things rather than learning so much about, you know, it's always about, not about like, oh, I got to get my curveball here, my slider here, you know, this and that, but just, you know, kind of staying a little more in tune and a little more focused on some of the smaller things that maybe you don't really think about as much.
Is there anybody in particular in the organization that you tend to, you know, pick their brain, talk baseball with from a pitching aspect?
Kind of your cliche answer, but it's Wainwright, and I think, you know, that's kind of what has made him as good as he is. I mean, he's really good about discussing the game or, you know, situations or this or that. You know, he'd be in the dugout and he'd be on the other side of the, you know, the dugout at that time, and something might happen in the game, and he'll come right on, hey, did you see that? What do you think here? If you get that situation, you need to do this, you know, whatever. And so, having a guy like that around is really nice because, I mean, like I said, he could be on the other end of the dugout, but if he sees something and he thinks it's worth sharing or noting, I mean, he's the first one there. And if you ever have questions, same thing. I mean, he's not, you know, claiming his way is the right way or this or that, but you can always bounce things off of each other and, you know, this, you know, whatever. And so, I think definitely that guy would be the guy that you look for that kind of guidance.
It appears from the outside looking in that it's a fairly close-knit team, which means that this offseason was even tougher with the loss of Oscar Tavares. How did you hear about that, and how has that affected you this year?
I think I heard about it on like social media and at Twitter. I think I kind of saw it, like, what? Wait, hold on. And like, about the time I saw it on Twitter, my phone was blowing up. But teammates text me, or just you know, friends or whatever. And I mean, so it happened so quickly, and you know, it's a sad deal. I mean, I had the opportunity to play with Oscar for about the last 3 years, or really. I mean, we were in Double A together. Mm-hmm. Even before that, we played in the Fall League together, and then in Double A and the Triple A, and then at times in the big leagues. And yeah, it's just it's a really sad deal, and I think it's something that, you know, probably hadn't even fully gotten to set in yet, because, you know, like, you know, it happening in the off season, I haven't expected to see him, you know, anytime yet. And so I think when we get back to spring training, and, you know, I think you'll kind of have another, you know, moment where it kind of sets in and like, wow.
Yeah, that's what, when I talked to Jamie Pogue last week, he said the same thing, that it doesn't seem real until you get into that situation where you're expecting to see them, and you don't, and that's got to be tough. And hopefully y'all will be able to deal with that fairly well. Let's talk about lighter stuff. I don't know if Jamie told you, but one of the main reasons I want to talk to you is your number.
All right.
I know it was probably random selection, you know, but has it come to mean something to you now that you've been, you know, in the history of the Cardinals, you're the only pitcher to ever wear the number 70.
Yeah, I didn't know that. yeah, it kind of has. It's really weird. You know, at one point, even like, I think in last spring training, you know, Rip had come and said something about numbers to me one day. Kind of like, all right, you know, we never really got back around to talking about it or anything. But the more I thought, I'm like, yeah, I don't, I'm just kind of used to it now, you know. It's like my first spring training number. I don't know why, you know, what I need another number for. And so it's something that, you know, it's kind of grown on me a little bit. It's weird. It's not your traditional baseball number, that's for sure.
Definitely not. And like I say, that you're the only pitcher, and only one other hitter has worn it. Wart, I think it was 96, wore it for about, you know, 43 plate appearances. So it's not a number that's been used much, and you're the most legendary 70 that the Cardinals have ever had. So you can put that on your resume somewhere.
Absolutely.
And one other thing, and it's something I've always wondered, you are in a small but growing number of people that has received a first pitch from a Wookiee. You were the person that caught the first pitch in Star Wars night last year. How did that come about? I've always kind of wondered, how do they select who gets to be the recipient of those first pitches?
You know, they just kind of come in there, you know, a few hours before each game and kind of randomly ask. I don't think it's any more than just randomly ask if you'd be interested in doing first pitch. Yeah, sure, why not, you know. But I remember that night, and I saw that thing from afar. I'm like, okay, well, you know, whatever. And go to catch this pitch, and I get up close. I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, it was huge. And then I found myself being a little more intimidated than I would have ever expected of that.
Well, you know, just make sure he wins. That's the important thing. Well, Tyler, I have appreciated you joining me. I'm looking forward to seeing you in spring training. Now, you tell me you're in Florida. I know you're a Texas boy to start with. Are you down there? Have you moved to Florida, or is this you're already getting started on your training?
This is just getting started on training. I come down to Tampa, actually. I got some connections over here. It's just too cold in Texas. I usually come down. I've done it every year of pro ball. I've come down to Florida about a month prior to spring training. And so I got out here, I guess almost a month and a half earlier this year, because I got out here like January 10th or so. And so I've been out here for a few weeks and just enjoying the warm weather and getting ready.
Well, good. And like I said, I'm really excited to see how this season turns out for you, because I think that you can be a very valuable part to this team. Look forward to watching you, and hopefully maybe we can talk again in the future.
Awesome, man. I appreciate it.
Hi, this is William Tasker from the Flagrant Fan. You can read my thoughts on all sorts of baseball issues at passionforbaseball.blogspot.com. Now back to Conversations with C70.
My thanks again to Tyler for joining us and for taking the time to indulge me a little bit on his number and other things in that regard. It was very, very interesting to talk to him. Now, some long-time listeners may remember that this is actually the second Cardinal active pitcher that we've had on the show. Brett Browning was on a couple of years back in about this time of year. Unfortunately, I did the interview with Barrett, and the next day he was released. And I don't think Barrett's pitched in the majors since. I don't think Barrett's pitched in anybody's minor league since. So, thankfully, so far, Tyler is still a part of the Cardinal organization. Hopefully, that curse is not a... It was a coincidence and not a curse, let's say. Because I think Tyler Lyons can be very, very valuable to this team over the next year or so. We'll see if that's a... you know, insurance starter, if that's a, you know, long man out of the bullpen, if that's a, you know, seventh inning guy, who knows what we'll see out of him, but I think we'll see something. So I'm looking forward to that. Cardinals have not done much since we got together. In fact, I don't think they've done anything. One thing we didn't talk about in our last show, mentioned, you know, Lance Lynn getting his contract, didn't talk a lot about Cardinals avoiding arbitration with Peter Borges and others. But John Jay did not avoid that yet. He filed for arbitration, filed a $5 million contract. The Cardinals countered at $4.1 million. Cardinals have not gone to an arbitration hearing since 1999. They are not going to go to an arbitration hearing over $900,000. They'll meet in the middle somewhere. At worst, they'll give Jay his $5 million, I think, although that might put him a little bit more likely to be traded. They're not going to... you know, worry about an arbitration hearing for a minimal amount of money. And I say minimal in the idea of baseball. If somebody wanted to give me the $900,000 difference, I would be fine with that. And I think I would be good for a long, long period of time. But for baseball standards, that's really not any big deal. And so they should settle that, and the Cardinals will continue that long-running streak of not going to arbitration. Seems like teams are doing very little arbitration these days all across the board. It's a nasty process when you think about it, and to go in there and tell a player he's not worth the money he's asking, and then come out of the hearing and say, we're really glad to have you on our team. Sends a few mixed messages, and also it's just not worth the aggravation and the issues that can come along with that and the personal hard feelings. So I think teams more and more, and you know, teams more and more buying out arbitration years. We saw that with Lance Lynn. The Cardinals bought out all three of his arbitration years. It seems like, you know, you kind of, if you're good enough, they'll buy them out. If you're not good enough, you're getting released and it's not going to matter. So it seems like very few players nowadays from any team go to arbitration hearing, and so it's not a surprise that the Cardinals have gone that long without one. I guess the only really thing that came out this week was the Cardinals farm system. Keith Law did his annual rankings. Cardinals back down to the middle of the pack, but that's not too surprising given the fact that they have promoted so many players out of this system. You know, even if Oscar Tavares was still with us, he would probably not be counted in that because of his time in the big leagues. You know, you've seen Matt Adams, you've seen Michael Wacha, you've seen, if you go back far enough, Shelby Miller. You've seen these guys start producing in the bigs. Well, that's obviously going to affect your ranking for the minor leagues. So, it's not surprising. Apparently, sounds like Law had some good things to say about some of the lower things, you know, lower rankings, maybe not as much AA and AAA, but farther down the row. Still, you know, looking at his top 100, four Cardinals in it, three of them pitchers. Again, we're not seeing a whole lot of big bats coming out of this lineup, but, you know, if you can develop pitching in your minor league system, you can always trade for hitting. Their hitting can be found, as we've seen. Pitching is a different story. Trying to come up with pitching, it's very expensive. It's very difficult. So we'll have to wait and see if that's the case. But I think that if you were going to choose you would develop pitchers, and then worry about finding the hitters later. Because I think, especially if you've got enough pitchers, you can trade for a hitter. Other than that, not been a lot going on. We are now, I'm finishing this recording January 31st, which means we're about to flip the calendar. Tomorrow's some sort of football game. Usually the good thing, as I've said many times, the good thing about that football game is that we can start looking at pitchers and catchers reporting right after that. Cardinals, I think, are in there on the 19th this year, although, as you heard, Tyler Lyon's already down there. Many others will be headed that way if they're not already down there doing some workouts on their own. I have commented before, probably will do a little bit more on this as time gets by, but that, you know, that Lent is, you know, a Christian spring training, and things kind of overlap as well. There's a lot of similarities there. It works that way again this year, almost to the T. The Cardinals report the day after Ash Wednesday, and their first game is Easter Sunday. So that time of Lent, where as Christians we tend to, focus on sacrifice and renewal and, trying to improve ourselves, matches well with the Cardinals being down there trying to improve themselves, doing their whatever it takes to be the best players that they can be. So, again, that's something I have talked about at my blog before. I don't think that's any big shock to y'all. And I may look at it again this year, maybe just reprint something I've written before, which is perfectly acceptable when you get to my blogging age. I think you just kind of forget that you've written it before. Again, other than that, lots of good stuff. The Cardinals, the UCB, just did a project this weekend. If you had a ticket that you could go back anywhere in Cardinal history and watch a game, you had the ticket, you could walk in, say wherever you want to sit, what game would you go back and see? It's kind of a tie into the Milwaukee Brewers have sold this timeless ticket, this $1,000, and you can go whatever game you want to. One time, one ticket. But, if they have a seventh game of World Series, you want to go, you got it. If you want to make sure you make it opening day, you got it. Something like that. You've got one shot, and you got to figure out when you want to use it, but you do have that ticket. And so we took that and we said, hey, what if you could go backwards in time with it, knowing what you know now? So some really good stuff. You'll go over to UnitedCardinalBloggers.com. You'll see the links to everybody's picks and their write-ups and why they would go back. So it's a really interesting project, I think. It turned out to be a pretty good one. Also to mention, a friend of the blog, a friend of the group, friend of the Baseball Bloggers Alliance, which I'm also part of, Out of the Park Baseball. You've seen it probably talked about on the Conclave and on my site in the past. Out of the Park Baseball 16 is coming out here probably within the next, it's pretty close to opening day, I think, when it comes out. And this year, for the first time, they're going to have MLB ties. They're able to use the logos in the names of the teams. They've not been able to do that before. So, that should be fun to see them actually in there. I mean, if you're like me, you set up your own stuff anyway. It doesn't matter. I always enjoy, creating some sort of, strange baseball association. I've got, like a Star Wars division where they're playing on Tatooine and Hoth and things of that nature. Because that's just me. And, I really enjoy Out of the Park. I'd play it more if my computer wasn't 7 or something years old and has enough trouble, getting online. So, if I ever upgrade that, I may wind up playing it a little bit more. But when Out of the Park comes out, you really, really ought to be getting that because it's a very good simulation game to play. It gives you a lot of options to manage, to general manage, to do things of that nature, signing, recruiting, minor leagues, all that kind of stuff. So really good stuff, and you should check that out. And if you'll remember, we had Brad Cook on last year about this time when the new one was coming out. I realize I have referenced a couple of older shows now. Obviously, they are not on the iTunes archive because of the way Podomatic works. I have not gotten to the point where I am paying for storage yet, and so many of these older shows roll off. I still have them. I have the links. They're in a Dropbox, I believe, or maybe box.net. If you are interested in hearing an older show that you might not have, send me an email, cardinal70@gmail.com. I can find it and get you the link, and you can listen to them if I can find them, which it shouldn't be that difficult. I've got a list, so I should be able to find that for you and get that if you're interested. If you're a person that has just started listening to the podcast, want to listen to some of the older shows, or maybe you just one that you remember that you'd like to listen to again, just drop me a note, and I'd be glad to do that. Also, drop me a note if you want to talk to me about what the show, how you like the show, if you don't like the show, what needs to be fixed about the show, you know, why I'm such a Star Wars nerd that I name them all the shows like that, you know, whatever. Cardinal70@gmail.com, you'll find me. Write me about the blog, write me about whatever. If you got questions, you know, maybe I'll answer them, probably faster to answer them on the blog. Actually, I'll probably just send you an email back, but maybe I'll work them into a blog post or even here on the podcast. I think that will wrap us for tonight. Hope you've enjoyed, and we'll talk to you next time. If you'd like to contact the show, please email cardinal70@gmail.com. If you'd like to have your blog as a commercial on the show, please call 650-273-6570 and leave your commercial as a message. You can also find Daniel on Twitter at C70. I'm a C70 junkie, a C70. I'm a C70 junkie, a C70. I'm a C70 junkie, a C70. Oh.